Washington there. It's in, you know, in Virginia out there. U.S. Customs and Border Protection officials seized a shipment of almost 4,000 bongs.
4,000?
Yep. $56,000 shipment arrived from China, manifested as gravity pipes.
Correct.
Quick that answer was. Correct. Correct, says Snoop, right after it said gravity pipe. Correct. That's what we call, I mean, that's what they're called, gravity pipes. They're, it's also the name of a band that's playing tonight in Austin, gravity pipes. No, anyway, so gravity.
Shoning a fan of that band?
I don't know. But the according to the Customs and Border Protection officials, CBP import specialists confirmed that the glass bongs violated U.S. laws on the importation of drug paraphernalia. The bongs were headed to an address in Los Angeles County, California.
4,000?
4,000 bongs. CBP officials screen international passengers and cargo for illicit narcotics, unreported currency, weapons, counterfeit consumer goods, prohibited agriculture, and other illicit products that could potentially harm the American public, U.S. businesses, and our nation's safety and vitality, according to the release.
What falls under prohibited agriculture?
You wonder. Well, remember last month down in the valley in FAR, as in FAR San Juan,
yes.
FAR San Juan Alamo North, that played Westlake the other day.
The North Raiders.
Yeah. Right. Of course, last week they seized more, last month, $960,000 worth of cocaine weighing almost 125 pounds. It was hidden in a tractor trailer truck coming across from Mexico. Last week's release, they see $23,000 in currency from a couple on a flight bound for Ghana. The couple reported having just 10.5 cash on him. So now, 4,000 bongs.
Can you please make sure we just get a drop of Craig saying 4,000 bongs?
4,000 bongs.
Here gravity pipe.
Yeah. That's, they have Snoop going, right. Or, yes.
Correct.
Right after I said, correct. Right after I said gravity pipes. Yes. All right. Second hour of Light the Tower coming up on the Horn, 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260. We are live. We're local and digital here on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
It's Light the Tower, your daily look around the world of sports with Hall of Fame broadcaster and voice of the Texas Longhorns, Craig Way.
Say goodnight to this one!
And Horns 24-7 insider, Jeff Howe. On your live, local, and independent home for sports talk in Austin, The Horn.
Second hour of Light the Tower on the Horn. Craig Way, Jeff Howe with you. And we're with you all the way until the noon hour. And then it's Chad and Trey with Shirts and Skins. Said it'll come your way. Coming up in a few minutes here, we'll have our Whataburger Top 5. Top 5 high school football performances of the weekend. And we've got another Longhorn Notebook coming up around the bottom. What is the, what's on the table for the Longhorn?
Look at some recruiting.
Okay.
More Lincoln Riley fallout because, boy, you talk about recruiting classes getting decimated. Oklahoma's 22 class, but specifically their 23 class, it has been eviscerated in the last 24 hours.
Yeah. I imagine so. So we should mention, obviously, there is basketball tonight at Gregory Gym. Throwback
Indeed.
Game for the Longhorn men. Are you going over for that? To experience? That should be kind of fun. It's for the students. They've got their party at the tower first. Chris Beard, you know, making good on the promise that if the students filled up the student section for the opener, and they did so for the first three home games, there'd be a party at the tower, and there will be. for the students. And they're going to walk down, I guess it's down 21st to where it's what? It's at 21st and Speedway is where Greg Jim is. So they're going to walk down there for the basketball game tonight against Sam Houston State. They're just going by the Sam Houston Bearcats these days, but you can hear it on the horn.
Wait, what?
Yeah, you look at all their releases and stuff like that. They're pretty much going by just Sam Houston.
They dropped the state?
Kind of like how Memphis dropped Memphis State and UNC Charlotte dropped the UNC part of it. UT Chattanooga just dropped. They're just pretty much going by Sam Houston.
Well, I didn't get that memo. It's unfortunate.
Sam Houston Bearcats. We'll have it for you tonight on the Horn, 104.9, and also on 101.9 and AM 1260. So it comes your way. 7 o'clock airtime, 7:30 with the tip-off, Texas against Sam Houston. Longhorns are 4-1 going in. Texas women won on Saturday afternoon. First time I can remember seeing a 30-0 run in a game.
30-0?
They spotted Cal State Northridge, CSUN, a 7-0 lead to open the game. Scored 7 unanswered to tie it. Gave up 5 unanswered. They were down 12-7. Then it was not long after they had a 17-0 run, and they were up 13 at the half, 40-27. In the second half, early moments of the third quarter, CSUN cut the lead to 11 at 44-33. Texas hits 6 in a row to get it 50-33. CSUN gets a basket to make it 50-35, approaching the midway mark of the third quarter. The next time CSUN scored, it was 80-35.
Jeez.
It was a 30-0 run.
Coach Schaefer break a couple dry erase boards and timeouts.
Well, they were all and of course they're still down a little bit. They Kendall Hunter hadn't been able to play. Aaliyah Moore hasn't been able to play. Kobe King Hawaii has not been able to play. So those players have not been able to go. But he got a lot of contributions from other players, and they went on a 30-0 run and ended up blowing them out 83-42. So they won that. So they're 4-1. Texas men are 4-1 going into their games of this week. Longhorn men tonight. Texas women Wednesday night against Jackson State. Longhorn men on Friday night against UTRGV. And then Texas A&M Sunday in College Station for the women. So, and that, by the way, is the Big 12 SEC challenge matchup.
By the way, if you need it for tonight's game, wondering about the caliber of opponent, Sam ranked number 210 in the KenPom rankings.
210. They're 2-4 and played a pretty challenging non-conference schedule. I think a couple of their games anyway.
They were at that showcase tournament down in Jacksonville. Feast week.
That's right. Because didn't they play?
They played SMU down there.
Yeah, right. Okay. So there's that. Okay. Before we get any further, it is time now for our Whataburger Top 5.
Now, it's time for the Whataburger Top 5.
Okay, prepare to receive.
Today's edition.
Here we go.
Top 5 performances of the weekend.
Top 5 performances of the weekend. And those top 5 performances right now include no ties. How about that? No tie today. You okay with that? You're right with the
I'll
no
live,
tie there?
I guess.
You'll do that. All right, I'll tell you what. I'll give you a tie.
Please.
I'll give you a tie. I'll put LBJ's blowout win in the tie.
That was a blowout.
I'll put it in there. And by the way, I think LBJ the computer expects LBJ to completely blow out Fredericksburg in the rematch. They're
strong.
Yeah.
Those boys are strong.
Yeah. Yeah.
Physically, man, they're like 5A D1 strong.
Yeah.
And look, I felt bad for Bernie.
Yeah. All right. So 68-24 was the final, yeah. LBJ. So I will put them in a tie for 5, okay? And I'll put them in the tie for 5 with Westlake. For that, because Westlake handling its business with VAR San Juan Alamo North, 56-0. They were just, blowing them out. So number 4 on the list is Lake Travis with what they did. And Lake Travis certainly more than handled its business and winning handily, 35-19 over Laredo United South. They were well in front and cruised from there. They get a good test this week. Brennan is a real solid team, and so they're going to have to deal with Brennan. Brennan definitely, without question, the best team in the San Antonio area. I don't think there's any doubt about that. So there is your number four. Number three, Liberty Hill winning that shootout with Rouse. And they were down 13 points in that game. Liberty Hill came back. How about the little okey-doke fake punt thing they read?
To Cade McMahon.
To Cade McMahon off of the pitch to Joe
Pitchford,
who of course had played at Rouse, and what a big night he had.
Sophomore,
and, yeah. So Liberty Hill wins, and now they get ready to take on Alamo Heights. Which, tip of the hat to Brian Herman's Marble Falls Mustangs, almost pulled it off, lost 10-7, but now it'll be Liberty Hill and Alamo Heights. I think that's the KBVO telecast on Friday night. You're going to have that.
And just for the Liberty Hill fans, I know Noah Long was a star as a freshman, but, man, what Joe Pitchford is developing into,
yeah,
he's special.
Indeed. Number two, how about a shout-out to San Marcos Baptist Academy?
How about a shout-out to those Bears?
The employer of none other than Jeff Howell's lovely wife, Tamara, who is the principal at said campus.
On the upper school, middle school, high school principal.
Did she send any coaching suggestions to the coaching staff, which beat Midland Christian 93-46 in that six-man semifinal to advance to the state championship?
No. And actually, that was the round before they actually beat Veritas.
That's right. It was Veritas
in the semifinal.
Yeah. Veritas in the semis. Following the Midland Christian with the win over Veritas. So now,
yeah, which is actually a little revenge for them because Veritas won the regular season matchup at their place, and then they played that game over at Rattler Stadium in San Marcos.
That's very cool.
On Friday.
So now they get ready for a state championship.
A state championship game in Waco on Thursday.
Yeah.
And I will be there.
Are you going?
I'm going to go. Yeah, I'm going to go up there.
Good on you. That's good.
My wife works there. My daughter goes to school.
The supportive, parent and spouse and all that sort of thing.
Look, I don't get to see many games, period, six men or otherwise, just from the stands as just an impartial observer. So I'll do my part.
Okay. All right. Number one performance of the weekend. Can you guess it, Snoop Daniel?
I was going to say Liberty Hill, but...
How about Lago Vista, 33, sixth-ranked Edna, 29, in the 3A Division I Sweet
Jim
16.
From Lago Vista.
I think I'm going to go see them for the first time in my life this Friday.
Are you?
Yes.
Playing the Industrial Cobras?
Mm-hmm. From Vanderbilt.
You're going to go to the Lago Vista game, huh, Snoop?
Mm-hmm. They are so good. They're electric.
I've seen a few Lago Vista games in my time.
Yeah, I bet you have.
Been a part of it.
You played in some of those games. So, congratulations, Lago Vista Vikings, number one performance of the weekend, and now getting ready for their Elite Eight state quarterfinal matchup. Going to be a tough matchup with Industrial, but there it is.
And since we're discussing high school football, I know we'll veer back to important matters of such here in just a second, but we did get a text earlier, Craig, on the Specs text line from Purple Buffalo's daddy.
Oh, yeah?
Who wanted to drop mention that the only thing worse than waving an OU flag in your yard is waving a Florence Buffalo's flag.
Here we go again.
And I bet Purple Buffalo's daddy is proud to know, he'll be happy to know, that I keep two Gerald Cougars flags on my person at all times. Do you know why I keep two, Craig?
Why is that?
One with which to release my bowels on, and the other to cover.
I knew that was coming. I knew I just walked right into that.
Let me
snore. Well, what was the up on the tee, and you just cleared the tee box?
What was the other one for?
Cover it up, because I'm a decent person.
Oh, boy. You had to go there. Just had to go there with that. Okay. All right. I Like Ike says, yeah, baby, Lago Vista Snoop will welcome you with open arms.
Sweet.
So they're happy about that. Chuck Azulin wants you to know that Stephen F. Austin doesn't use the state.
Yeah, but that's been for a while.
Yeah,
though.
They've had it's SFA. Yeah, and somebody said, my prediction is both Lake Travis and Westlake will roll and get state championships. Well, Westlake's got to deal with Vandegrift this week.
Yep.
And we're going to visit with both of the head coaches this week in that matchup, as we do every week. Lake Travis has a really good Brennan team, which, by the way, in case you're wanting to know, computer likes Brennan by 2 points.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. So, did you guys know that there are, this week in the state quarterfinals, 14 rematches?
14?
14 rematches in the playoffs, in the state quarterfinal round of regular season games, either Dang. District or non-district. 14. One of those, Snoop's alma mater, DeSoto, which knocked out Spring Westfield, is playing Duncanville. They're playing at the Star in Frisco.
It's the Redbird Mall game. Redbird Mall.
It's now called
anymore.
Southwest Center Mall.
Oh, okay.
If it's still around. They changed the name to Southwest yeah. Center Mall. And just a couple of other ones off the top of my head rematches that'll be going on. Cisco and Hawley is a big one. I think it might be Happy and Westburg as well. Denton Geyer and Prosper is a rematch of a game. Wichita Falls, Ryder, and Lubbock Cooper, because they're in a district and they've met twice before. It's kind of almost like that Malakoff Grandview thing where they're playing for like the eighth time in the last 5 years or something yeah. like that. Aubrey Salina is one of those. Pleasant Grove Gilmer is one of those.
LBJ Fredericksburg.
LBJ Fredericksburg, obviously. And Wellington Stratford, I think, is another one. Anyway, there are 14 rematches in the state quarterfinal round this week, and there's some really good games this week. This is Shiner Referio week.
It is.
By the way,
how many rounds is this now between those two?
They just wind up playing every year. Every year.
It's like round five. Or
yeah,
something
like that. And they're playing in Victoria
on Thursday
night.
It's like the Clemson, Alabama of Texas high school football.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, there's that. I think they're playing on Thursday night, in Victoria.
By the way, I'm not sharing anything that I don't think the public at large, especially those who cover high school football in the Metroplex, don't know. DeSoto Duncanville is fascinating because when I always think of coaches that can't agree on home neutral sites or neutral sites or coin flips or anything like that, those two head coaches have made it very clear in the past that that's happened when trying to get their teams together to play.
Reginald Samples at Duncanville and Claude Mathis at DeSoto are not on each other's Christmas card list.
No,
I'll just leave it at that.
I do believe there was one year. It was when Reginald Samples was still the head coach at Skyline. Mm-hmm. Coach Mathis was at DeSoto.
Yep.
They couldn't even agree on where to meet to discuss.
Yeah, where to
everything.
Flip the coin. They
yes.
couldn't agree on where to meet to flip a coin to do it. Yeah. Yeah.
So some of those get pretty contentious.
There's some other marquee matchups this week. Southlake Carroll against Allen.
That's a big one.
So they're playing in Denton at Apogee Stadium on Saturday. That's a big one. Colleyville Heritage and Mansfield Summit.
Hey, by the way, real quick, this is more for Metroplex schools than schools yeah. down here, because down here in this part of the state, we've got the Alamo Dome for
yep.
triple headers and mm-hmm. Multiple games in a weekend. How's the response been for Globe Life Field as a high school football?
Good,
venue?
They like it. The only thing that you're not crazy about this time of year is the weather. You're talking about the indoor, the
yeah.
Globe Life. It's been good. They haven't played that many there.
Right.
I haven't heard of any games played there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. There's been play. Well, Army and Air Force played the first game there when they played. And then they've had a couple of playoff games there.
I know Southlake Carroll's played at least one there.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. And then the rest, I think there's been one other game, and most of the rest have just been over across the street.
South Oak Cliff might have played their area round game there?
Might have.
Does that sound right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Could have. And of course, South Oak Cliff pulled the shocker of the shocker of the weekend, beating Aledo.
Yeah.
Talk about the stunner of all stunner. Six defending state champions were knocked out last weekend. Six. Most ever on a weekend in the modern era of 12 state champions. Half of the state champions from last year got knocked out on one weekend. Carthage. Big. That's a huge win there.
China Springs. Slayed the Dragon.
Yeah. So China Spring knocked out Carthage, and as we mentioned, Aledo being beaten by South Oak Cliff, getting knocked out. Huge surprises in a lot of Argyle gone. Mm-hmm. Stephenville beat them in the last second touchdown in 3A Division One. In 4A Division Two was where 4A D2 is where Carthage was. And then, let's see, I think 2A Division I is still holding strong. 3A Division I, Jim Ned, not only beaten, pounded by Brock in 3A Division I. So, yeah, a lot of surprise. And in six-man, Sterling City in 1A D1 gets knocked out.
Now, Snoop, I think you'll dig this. There's a lot of, I know from a media standpoint, a lot of the folks I follow who cover high school football, there's a lot of media folks, I think, really rooting for two schools, really rooting for South Oak Cliff.
Sock Bears.
And really rooting for LBJ, because there's a groundswell, I think, of media support that really want to see if an inner-city team from one of the major metro areas of the state can go win a state championship. So I think there's seeing a lot of support online for, at least from a media perspective, for Sock and for LBJ.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good.
My uncle's played for Sock.
Really?
John Washington and Stanley Washington. Stanley Washington wound up going to TCU eventually, but anyway, that's my Sock story.
Your uncle John Washington wasn't the one who changed his name and became John Jefferson and the big time receiver for the Chargers.
No.
Okay.
I know he does have dementia. I was like,
okay.
My Uncle John.
All right.
I didn't know if you knew something yet. I was like, whoa.
No, I'm just saying there was a John Washington who was good mm-hmm. football player at South Oak Cliff, changed his name to John Jefferson, became a big-time receiver for the Chargers in the NFL.
He was so upset because he was only 5'6", and back then.
Okay, well, that would not have been this guy. Yeah. Yeah, but back then.
They didn't let, like, guys 5'6", play running back.
Yeah, right, yeah. Well, Pleasant Grove Gilmer, somebody else brought that up. That's a rematch, and Gilmer humbled in the first time. But, you know, Pleasant Grove just keeps winning. You know, Josh Gibson's done a remarkable job there. Somebody said, are we sad that Canadian and Gunner won't be happening? Part eight. That would be part eight. No, but it is still on track for Franklin Gunner. Now, Abernathy's really good at take out Canadian, but a number one against number two is still on track right now in 3A D2 for Franklin and Gunner. And Jeff, out of the old Florence Buffaloes district, Franklin,
yeah, they're
looks
menacing. Steamrolling everybody right
yeah.
now.
Yeah, so it'll be we'll be looking forward to seeing. I'll tell you another team to keep an eye on, Lorena. They look good, and they won in blowout fashion over the weekend as well. So keep an eye on them. And Lorena, by the way, plays die ball in the 3A D1 Sweet 16. Elite Eight. If Lago Vista is able to win its quarterfinal, there's a good chance it's going to be Lago and Lorena in the Final Four, in the semifinal.
Real quick on the inner city school bit. Houston, would that be either probably Lamar playing for a state championship a few years ago?
Yep, when they lost
Allen.
And
then before them, the Vince Young, Madison team that got close.
Yep.
And Dallas probably would have, I think the last DISD team to play for a state championship, would it have been that Reginald Samples Lincoln team that lost to Kilgore?
Had Byron Eaton in the backfield before he played basketball. Yeah, lost in double overtime to Kilgore.
Eddie Jones and Kilgore.
Yep,
yeah.
Yep, absolutely. Okay. That would have been. And there's not been an HISD state champ since Yates in 85. And of course, Carter was the last one to win one on the field, 88, stripped from them, obviously, the 88 Carter season there for that.
By the way, if folks out there haven't seen the Dallas Carter 30 for 30.
What Carter Lost is the name of that. It's on the Disney Plus.
You're a very big part of the presentation there.
We did about... They had me do interviews for that. I did about 3 hours of interviews. That sat down, and it was in a weird area. It was down near the Trinity River Bottoms in the soundstage place there in Irving. And it was kind of a strange, eerie place, but it was a long day to do that. But that was Adam Hutnick was the producer-director, did a great job putting that together, had a lot of our play-by-play calls from back then. In that 88 season, because George Dunham and I did several of those games. that year, and that was also the Friday Night Lights year. And we did two of the Permian games that year, including beating J.J. Joe and Arlington Lamar in the quarterfinals for that, before they played Carter the next week at Memorial Stadium in the semifinals. It was a really intriguing and explosive and turbulent year in high school football.
I'm watching that doc, and I'm like, 40 minutes into it, I'm like, damn, Craig's gotten a hell of a lot of airtime.
Get off my screen, dude.
Yes, APD number one, Dallas Sunset was the last DISD team to win a state championship back in 1950.
Yeah, and then somebody said, hey, John Jefferson played at Roosevelt. I said South Oak Cliff. Thank you for the correction on that. But if I'm remembering correctly, his birth name, given name, was Washington, and changed it to Jefferson.
Yes.
And that's what I read in a book on the history of the Prairie View Interscholastic League, and then when the schools were absorbed into the UIL with integration. Somebody else pointed out GEAUX, LCM Bears, Little Cypress, Mauriceville. First time in the quarterfinal since the 90s, coached by Eric Peavy, who left. This is kind of your Lincoln Riley time. Left Beaumont Westbrook after 2 years ago, getting them to within a heartbeat of winning a 6A state championship over Longview before a fumble, and he left going into and first year at LCM. He's got him into the quarterfinals.
Nice.
He's done a heck of a job there. Also, the LCM, the alma mater of our good friend Suzanne Halliburton.
Oh, really?
One of the Austin American Station. She's a proud LCM alum.
I knew she was from the Golden Triangle.
Yeah.
I didn't know she was.
She went to LCM. All right. Coming up, we do have our Longhorn Notebook with Jeff. We'll talk some recruiting coming up. We'll continue to light the tower on the Horn, 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260. We're live, local, and digital on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
Hey. Basketball.
This is Light the Tower on the Horn. Craig Wayne, Jeff Howe with you up until noon. And right now, it is time for the 11 o'clock hour edition of the Notebook.
Jeff Howe's Longhorn Notebook.
So a couple of college basketball cleanup items. I did pull up the Sam Houston schedule, Craig. They did take on SMU,
yeah,
but it was not at the deal down in Jacksonville. That was at Moody. They lost 75-66. They did play a game at Nebraska, so they played some, you know,
a representative non-conference schedule.
Yeah, not terrible. But
you
again,
know, who plays for them, grad transfer, Savion Flagg. Remember him as an Aggie?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Pretty highly recruited guy.
I remember him playing in that Harvey relief benefit game when Texas played A&M at Rice,
mm-hmm,
and like 3 years ago, 4 years ago. And
was that Billy Kennedy's last year?
I think so.
Okay. And I was thinking about that the other day for some reason.
Yeah, and Texas won that game late. It was very chippy to be an exhibition game, but a charity game.
It started out like, hey, we're here for fun. Yeah. Then you got like, I think, Texas, if I remember right, Texas got it by 11, 12, and then A&M cuts it like to like 3.
Yeah.
And everybody forgot that it was a charity game at that point.
Oh, it was full on. It was Texas against Texas A&M at that point. But anyway, I remember Savion Flagg. And he plays for Sam Houston State, among those.
I'll go ahead and throw this. So a little more college basketball cleanup again tonight, 7 o'clock pregame, 7:30 tip. Mm-hmm. Craig and Eddie on the call from Gregory Gym. If you can't get into Gregory tonight, which a lot of you listen to.
Unless you're a student.
if you're not getting into Greg, you can hear it here on the Horn and on Coke FM. New AP poll is out. I don't think it's any surprise to anybody. Duke, the new number one team in the country after their win over Gonzaga. Did you watch any of that game?
I did.
Craig?
Okay. I did.
God, what a hell of a college basketball game that was. Duke number one, Purdue down number two, Gonzaga down to number three, Baylor in the top five at number four, Texas up one spot to number seven, Kansas coming off of their loss to Dayton down to number eight. So there's your three Big 12 teams in the top 10 of the AP top 25 right now. And man, don't look now. We talk about the Big 12 being tough top to bottom. Iowa State, who didn't win a conference game last year, they're 6-0 after winning the preseason NIT and getting a win over Memphis. They beat Xavier in the semifinals.
Yep.
And they beat a really talented Memphis team in the championship game.
Yeah.
So Iowa State's in the AP Top 25 at number 19.
A team that won two games last year.
Two.
They beat Mississippi Valley State, and they beat Arkansas Pine Bluff.
Brutal. Let's stick on the Iowa State conversation because this bleeds into the Lincoln Riley stuff. Look, Matt Campbell's name is coming up as a candidate for this Oklahoma job. And I'll say, Craig, the same thing I told you off air, I'll go ahead and say it on air. If Matt Campbell, within like a year and a half, a calendar year and a half, can in some way, shape, or form basically say thanks to no thanks to Texas, Michigan, USC, LSU, all these other jobs that have in some way, formally or informally, put feelers out to Matt Campbell. If he doesn't take this Oklahoma job, if he's a legit candidate and turns the job down, then you know what? I love me some Matt Campbell. You deserve the Paul Rhodes treatment or the Dan McCartney treatment at that point. You deserve to get fired 3 years from now if you're 3-9. Like, you've done a really good job with that Iowa State program. Taken Iowa State places and done things Iowa State football has never done. But I don't think it can last in Ames, Iowa. So we'll see if this is one of those jobs that Matt Campbell, if this is the job that he just can't turn down, we shall see. But part of the Lincoln Riley fallout, and again, this is something that we'll keep talking about, you know, obviously today, all the local shows here will talk about it. We'll keep talking about it throughout the week because it is a fascinating story. It almost, to me, Craig, kind of overshadows the championship games this weekend. Maybe that changes by the time we get to the end of the week. But right now, this is front and center. Lincoln Riley leaving Oklahoma to take over at USC. And I did some research, by the way, looking at Oklahoma head coaches and their careers against Texas.
Yeah.
It's not even close. Lincoln Riley's got the best win percentage of any of them, and it's not even close. Six meetings, he won five of them. That's an .833 win percentage if you don't want to do the math at home. But just to show you kind of how much that stands out, if you look at the records of Oklahoma's other historically successful coaches in this rivalry, I mean, Bob Stoops, 11-7. Obviously, they had that run of five in a row in the early 2000s. But Matt kind of got that thing even for a while before it got away, and obviously Texas had their issues. Barry Switzer had a winning record against Texas. Not quite as dominant as you would think, though. 9-5-2, some really good Texas teams he went up against. Chuck Fairbanks, 2-4 against Texas. Bud Wilkinson, and granted, a lot of the losses came later in his tenure as Daryl Royal got things going at Texas.
Yeah.
Bud Wilkinson was one game over 500.
He lost against Texas. He lost eight in a row, I think.
Yeah.
So I think that's the longest streak in that. He lost eight in a row, and you mentioned Chuck Fairbanks. That was right in the Wishbone Texas era, the back-to-back national titles in 69 and 70.
And then Benny Olin, 8-8.
Yeah,
broke even against Texas. So for Lincoln Riley to do that, and it's, when you look at Lincoln Riley's history,
what did you say Bob Stoops' record was?
11-7.
11-7. Yeah.
And when you look at Lincoln Riley and his time as Oklahoma's head coach, and really the time he was in the program, because he was the offensive coordinator in 15 and 16, and which, by the way, two very polar opposite performances for Oklahoma. Like,
yeah,
it shut down in 15 and then 16. I think they set the series record for one team's total offense is 672 yards in the 2016 game against Texas. But if you look at just kind of his, it's going to go down as an incredibly frustrating time for Longhorn fans in the history of this rivalry. Because all of those games, with the exception of the Big 12 championship game, were one possession games. And then those losses, you can argue Texas could have won all five of those games. Like, even the 2019 game, which I contend is the point in Tom Herman's tenure that he really never recovered from. You remember, Craig, early in that week, just Texas had a bravado and a swagger that very quickly shifted to overconfidence and cockiness going into that game. They got hit in the mouth and never really responded. And even in that game, they've still got a shot with about 5 minutes left. Oklahoma's backed up deep in their own territory. You're thinking, man, if they get a stop here and at least get Sam Ellinger the ball with probably about a minute and a half left, he can go down and send this game to overtime, and alas, it didn't happen. But a lot of one-possession losses. You think about the COVID game last year. I felt Tom Herman should have tried to go for two after Sam Ellinger scored the touchdown in the second overtime, and you had them on their heels. Just go for the throat at that point. The game this year where you have the big lead and it slips away. So Lincoln Riley is going to end his Oklahoma tenure as the most successful head coach from a win percentage standpoint ever against Texas. But, man, a lot of close calls, a lot of what ifs for the Longhorns in the Lincoln Riley portion of the rivalry. And real quick on recruiting, because I know that's where the focus is going to shift now. Oklahoma's recruiting class, I think at the time we started the show, since the news was broke, since the news came out that he was leaving Oklahoma to take the SC job, between the 2022 and 2023 classes, Oklahoma lost six verbal commitments.
Yeah.
So, including Malachi Nelson, a five-star quarterback from Southern California. If you look at how well they recruited Southern California, especially in the 2023 cycle, well, that 2023 USC class, if you're taking an early favorite on who might have the top class in the country in the 2023 cycle, SC is not a bad place to start. But you start looking at how this can benefit Texas, and it can cut a couple of different ways. Like Devin Brown, the quarterback from Utah, who was committed to USC at one point, was really tied in with Graham Harrell. He's still kept USC as an option. Does that make USC more palatable for him now as a quarterback going to play for Lincoln Riley? That's something to think about. Devon Campbell, the five-star offensive lineman out of Arlington Bowie, loved USC, really got close to that staff, and was considering Oklahoma. Got Bill Bedenbaugh did a really good job in that recruitment. Does USC now become a legitimate? So that's just something to think about. Yes, there is a chance some of those guys in that Oklahoma class that are either still in the class or have decommitted could be options for Steve Sarkisian. But now some of these guys you've been chasing – now you've got to fight the battle against, do these guys end up as legitimate options for USC? So Mike Roach and Nick Harris at Horns 24/7 have done a great job of following this stuff. The Stampede did drop this morning at 8 a.m. like it does each and every Monday, Mike's collection of news, notes, and nuggets on the Recruiter Show. And don't forget, we've got that 75% off special for Cyber Monday at Horns 24/7. But they've done a great job of breaking this down. Guys, this move could help Texas with guys where Texas might now be in a battle with USC for guys. All that stuff is up on the site. But, again, that's a deal that, yeah, on one hand, it could really benefit you. But on the other hand, you're really fighting a battle that you probably weren't fighting before.
Yeah.
Okay.
Especially, keep this in mind, as much as Steve Sarkisian and his staff have and will continue and want to continue to recruit Southern California, Lincoln Riley taking over that program at SC, that is an entirely different beast you're dealing with now that you weren't dealing with before, that anybody that recruits Southern California, the state of California, hadn't been dealing with before. It's been a while since you've had to really worry about SC the way you're going to have to worry about them now.
Yep. Okay, so there's the notebook for this hour. Somebody says, does Caleb Williams stay at OU? That's become a popular discussion topic.
I'm going to go ahead and guess no.
You don't think he's going to go to USC?
Look,
you think he's going to follow him?
Here's the problem. Here's the deal. Everybody talks about the portal, the portal, the portal. One-time transfer is the thing that's completely changed the game.
Mm-hmm.
When you can transfer, you get that mulligan. You can transfer one time without penalty. Here's the thing, though. SC's got a pretty good young quarterback with Jackson Dart.
Yeah.
So there's some things to sort out there. Does Lincoln Riley look at it and say, I'm sure he would love to have Caleb Williams, but does he look at Jackson Dart and say, you know what, I've got a pretty good young quarterback here that's already here. And
in the, yeah, yeah.
Roll with it. I don't know. But.
And then somebody else said, do you think Kevin Durant has sent a thank you note to Lincoln Riley for him now being the most hated in Oklahoma?
Oh, man.
I don't think Lincoln Riley is as despised as KD is.
No, Craig, have you been on the Twitter machine lately?
Really?
Hulk Hogan in 96 has nothing. This is the greatest heel turn of all time, Lincoln Riley leaving Oklahoma to go to USC.
Yeah. So you're thinking are they going to say that Lincoln Riley's a cupcake? Is that the deal there?
Boy, it's it's gone from, you know, the guy that you feel, you know, the only thing I can compare this to in sports, it's kind of like what the Spurs dealt with when, you know, Tim Duncan, that nucleus retired. They're like, okay, it's just going to – Kawhi Leonard just going to continue this on. And you don't really factor in, does the guy you're planning on handing all this to, does he really want that in the long run? Does he
yeah.
just, or does he want to go try to do his own thing and consequently go out to California to make it happen, even though Kawhi did have that stint in Toronto and they did win a ring. But that's
see, here's
really
the difference.
Kawhi wanted to
go. Here's the difference. Oklahoma fans could say – Oklahoma fans of the Thunder – could say, well, you know, KD left to cupcake himself a title because he couldn't get a title here. They can't make that same claim about Lincoln Riley because Oklahoma is far closer to a national championship contending status than USC
which is why
so that's
hurts.
When it hits home because then you realize
so
it's not him, it's you.
Yeah, and like I said, I hope this is a reminder to Oklahoma fans. If you're just rattling off conference championships and 11-win seasons, even though you're not getting the big prize at the end, don't ever
take them for granted.
Ever take that for granted.
Nope. No doubt about it. Agree. All right, we'll be back to wrap up Light the Tower on the Horn.
Before you.
Couple of things. A marking of time and a passing. First of all, marking time. Happy birthday to my oldest son, Andrew Charles Way. Yeah, Andy. Andy's birthday is today, so happy birthday. And then, like you said, the passing of a true pioneer in the game.
Boy, you talk about trailblazer. Lee Elder fits that mold better than a lot of people who would claim that title.
Yeah, was a mentor as well to Tiger Woods as well.
First black golfer to ever play in the Masters.
Yep. Tomorrow, we'll be back in. We'll visit with Hank Carter of Lake Travis. We've got more football and basketball to discuss. We invite you to stay tuned. Up next, Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey. For our man behind the glass, Newt Daniel, and for my co-host, Jeff Howe, I'm Craig Way. Thanks for joining us. We'll visit with you tomorrow here on Light the Tower.